This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. Not very happy, and Alex apparently has a lot of rants, but Alex, how did you like getting sacrificed, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? I'm not sure if I would call that a sacrifice. I was promised fireworks.
We'll put an asterisk by the sacrifice. It's okay.
Okay. Because I was promised fireworks and I got like little firecrackers bursting, basically. Like,
the 49ers and the Bengals played eerily similar for me, and I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, I guess. Well, you can say that the wrong team won in both games, so let's put it like that. The least deserving team won it on both games, I would say.
They both started off with a strong drive, first drive touchdown.
Yep. And then nothing.
And then it went to hell. And then they got some, you know, incompetency on the back end to secure the win. Hey.
Uh-oh. We're having issues again, Angelo.
You take it, buddy. You take your wins, Alex. This is how you get in a situation with the Eagles where you're saying they're not winning good enough. You take your wins, Alex. Learn to take your wins. Okay. And
you cut off a bit there, but I think we're back now. So let's hope Discord isn't pranking us again. It's fine now. You cut off a bit there before the win column. Just like 10 seconds at best. So.
I was just saying, your wins. You don't want to get into another situation like the Eagles where, you know, you're saying they're not winning good enough and then you blink and then one of those teams are in the Super Bowl. Don't do it, Alex. Just admit the loss. Just, you know, tip your hat and move on to the next week, Alex. Just say it. The 49ers and the Bengals won. Just say it.
I mean, they won. They won. The only point that I can make is that for the Bengals game, like, had Cleveland actually managed to get their extra points on the board, that game probably goes their way. And for the Seahawks, I mean, I sent you the screenshot of what I said in another group. And I was sitting there, and when we kicked the field goal to go up 13-10, which was absolutely asinine. If you don't like that, you don't like Seahawks football. We're at the 30 or at the 20 something of the Niners. There's like, what, around 3 minutes or so left on the clock. We go and it's a fourth down. Instead of going for it, that's fourth and short actually. Instead of going for it, we kick the field goal. And I guess the idea was their kicker was so bad and was missing so much that it just basically wanted to force the Niners to take a field goal. To tie it or risk a win and not get anything out of the game. But I've been watching Seahawks football for like the past 10 years. So I knew how this was going to go. We were going to play ultra defensively and we were going to allow a touchdown to a nobody, like a guy I never even heard about. Just Tongues. Apparently that was the name that happened to be yesterday because like versus other teams will be another guy. But the name from yesterday was Tongues, a guy that never caught a football before. So, yeah, that was fun. We allowed the touchdown, and then it's over. Like, the game ends on a Sam Darnold fumble out of a ball that hits the tackle or something like that.
Is it, So is it any different from Geno Smith, Alex, or is this just the same results, except, you know, Kenneth Walker is now non-existent? So maybe in that sense it is better. Maybe in that sense it is better because, you know, now instead of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett needlessly taking away targets, now you have the alpha JSN going out there and balling out and being the only target that Sam Darnold thinks is worth targeting. But
yeah, apparently yeah. So. Like, if I'm not mistaken, he had a 57% target share.
Sam Darnold threw for 150 yards. JSN accounted for 124 of them.
Yep. And Sam Darnold, if I'm not mistaken, had 23 passes. JSN had 13 targets. You can check me on that, but if I'm not mistaken, no,
you're,
that's
you're
it.
Right. You're right.
Yeah. Right. So 57% target share. The yards should be around, what, 80-something percent, 70-something percent? Yeah. That's not sustainable for an offense, I would say. Cooper Kupp looked about washed, so that's fun as well.
Things I already K-9, told you.
Yeah, I guess so. K-9 did not a whole lot, apparently, but the whole camp talk about Zach Charbonnet was right. They liked
things
Zach.
I told you last year that finally came to fruition. Go on.
I still think it's mostly because of the injuries that K-9 had during camp, and eventually things will settle back up. For K-9 to be the starter. But yeah, because the run game didn't look like anything crazy with Charbonnet in there. K-9 got stuffed a bunch of times, like met on the backfield in quite a lot of his carries. So that's always fun as well. Yeah, proper Seahawks football in week one. We're back.
I'm back.
Like we never left.
Yeah, it's easy to predict, you guys. You just... whatever the most tragic thing is going to happen is going to happen, and then you just, you know, you bet against the Seahawks. That's
simple as.
The Seahawks might
and apparently
I'm going to hurt you right in your soul right now. The Seahawks are the Texans without any playoff success recently.
Oh yeah. What's the playoff success for the Texans, by the way?
They won a first round game, which is better than you guys can say.
Great. That's a lot of success.
Exactly, but that's the thing. You're the Texans of the NFC. Congratulations, buddy.
Okay. But, like, weren't the Texans, like, the sweetheart of the NFL for a bit? Like, after the rookie era of Stroud?
Yeah, but, you know, you need time to move off. Just like the Jaguars, you know, the AFC has ebbs and flows, you know. You get bored of talking about, like, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, and the Bengals. You know, you want some sweetheart teams.
Okay.
It's not
okay,
like the NFC where it seems like everything's wide open. Except now, the Philadelphia Eagles, Alex, the Philadelphia Eagles are the standard of the NFC. Say it, Alex. Say the Philadelphia Eagles right now are the standard of the NFC.
Yeah, the Packers might be.
Oh my God, Alex.
The Packers might be the best team in the NFC.
Oh my God, Alex. There we go again.
Hey, I'm just telling you. But before I go
just out of curiosity. So the Packers might be the best team in the NFC. So who did you pick to win that game? The Packers and the Lions, exactly? Go on.
The Lions. I picked the Lions.
Okay. Hey, so you live and you learn. The best team in the NFC. Okay. Tell me, did I pick against the best team in the NFC week one?
No, but did you win that pick?
I did not, but I did pick the best team in the NFC week one.
Okay. Yeah. You know how they are not the best team? Do you know what's the saying? Good teams win, great teams cover. And you know what the Eagles didn't do? They didn't cover.
Well, you know, after they put the shellacking on the Chiefs, you know, there would be a bit of a hiccup. It's okay.
Okay. We'll see what happens. Okay, but before we go into that, we need to talk a bit about your Bengals. What did you think about the game in general?
It was anxiety-inducing.
Yeah, that is proper Bengals football for you, I guess.
Here's the thing. Here is what I'll say. at the end of the last episode, I said the Bengals historically have slow starts and the Browns defense gives them problems. And I said, I believe that this will be different. This is not different. The only difference is the Bengals would usually start this 0-1 instead of 1-0. They did win that game. And that's pretty much what Joe Burrow said at the end, at the post game interview. Like, we're used to losing these games here at this part of the season. We won them. You take that. That said, the best passing attack in the NFL mustered like 150 yards. Our run game, Chase Brown was electric for a few plays, but other than that, our run game seemed anemic. Our defense made Joe fucking Flacco look magical at times. And it took, you know, the Browns' own ability to be the paper bag, or the lunch paper bag team of the NFL to win that game. It's not a good feeling right now, but I will take a win over a loss any day of the week.
I feel like a lot of people will overreact on your game in general, because it's like this every year, like especially for fantasy and whatnot.
Every year, yeah.
I feel like people come in expecting, okay, we just saw this great Bengals offense all of last year. Burrow was on fire. Like, if the team had a winning record, probably in the MVP conversation. Chase, great season. Chase Brown, great season. Higgins, great season. All of that. And people just come into week one with the expectation, okay, this will be the Browns. The Browns are our absolute massive a team. The Bengals were just like on absolute fire to end the year. Okay, this is going to be a slaughter. And like, for fantasy, this is going to be great. And it wasn't, like it isn't every single year.
So
I kind
fair,
of think people will overreact here a bit.
So one, yes, but to be fair, we also saw Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow change the way they did the preseason prepping. He played the starters more. Joe Burrow played a lot more. He took a lot more hits in the preseason than he has previous year. I think people assumed that would translate to a less, like, not a slow start. So I can understand how you could come to that conclusion. They did do things different that they didn't do the previous year and the year before that and the year before that. So,
but
at the same time,
you would still agree that it's probably, like, people will...
the Bengals will be
fine. Because you guys
will
be fine.
The Bengals will be fine. Okay. Yeah. I think it's more of a good sign that we didn't, you know, granted Joe Flacco threw for almost 300 yards, but it's a good sign that we didn't make the Browns' last rank offense look like a competent offense or an average offense.
That is true. And I also think this will be right. This will be the case the other way around as well, because I definitely think people will start to overreact on the Browns, and it's like, okay, they hang on there with the Bengals. Their defense might be better than what we're expecting. Their offense might be better than what we're expecting, because Flacco did have
the
300
the
yards as he said. I think it's gonna be one of those cases of overcorrection from week one, and people are gonna go, especially versus the Ravens this week. I believe the Ravens are double-digit favorites, and we'll get to the Ravens in a bit. But they're double-digit favorites, if I'm not mistaken. I think people will think that the Browns have a chance here, that the Browns are good for the number on the spread. And I think the Browns are going to be absolutely slapped.
I hate to say it, Alex. Well, we'll get to it when we talk about the Ravens, but I think the Browns might actually be good for that cover, but it's not for the reason that the Browns played good week one.
I don't know about that, man. I think you're one of those people falling for the trap.
Falling for the trap, huh?
Because, again, I don't think the Bengals defense is all that much improved. I think the Bengals defense... is still going to give up plays, is still going to give up yards, is still going to give up touchdowns. And I feel like the display that the Browns had, it's like 80% Bengals defense, 20% Browns. Because again, Jerome Ford looks absolutely dusted. Like, you do not want to give Jerome Ford the ball like 10 to 15 times a game. That's, in this day and age, it's like not possible anymore. Jerry Jeudy looks like absolutely uninterested about football at this point. So hey, thank God they gave him a big deal, but he should be the one to like excuse himself from this rotation of wide receivers. Cedric Tillman is fine, but like, you look at the weapons around Joe Flacco and around this Browns offense, and it looks dire, and I think people are not quite aware of this at this stage.
What, that the Browns don't have any weapons? I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah, but after this game, I think people will think this Brown offense will be fine.
Touting who? Fanine? Whatever that tight end's name?
Yeah, Fanine. Fanon, I think that's the name.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
Fanon. And yeah, like, they'll think Fanon, they'll think Quinchon Judkins will be back soon. They saw Dylan
Sampson.
He is actually going
to play Sampson next week, from what I've been told. On my Cleveland, like, area news, he might play week two.
Yeah, which, great turnaround. Like, if you're not caught on camera, everything is fine. That's the NFL way.
Makes you feel better about your Quinson jokes and Judkins picks, man.
Traits, better said. But yeah, it makes me feel a bit better about that one. I kind of thought that was going to be the case. That he was just like going to play like nothing was, because again, like, if you're not caught on camera, you're usually fine with the NFL. At worst, you get a slap on the wrist. And that's probably putting it not mildly, but like, you're probably being generous with that slap on the wrist. It's going to be like 1-2 games at most. So I thought he was going to be okay. But again, I really have no sort of aspirations for this Browns offense at all. I think if Dylan Sampson keeps the third down role, especially for fantasy, I think he will be a fairly usable player in a kind of like Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb type of role. But Sampson, like, for example, in this game versus the Ravens, I'm all for Sampson being a start in fantasy leagues, because like getting, I don't know, like, 6 to 8 dump offs easily.
I've loved Dylan Sampson since he was a prospect. So I've been touting Sampson for most of the offseason. Granted, we haven't been around most of the offseason, but yeah, I have a lot of Sampson stock. So
I get it. Yeah, I think Sampson should be fine, because again, I think they'll be down quite a bit. I think the defense is okay, but it's nothing special. Like, outside of Myles Garrett, I think it's not a great unit in general. But I feel like if not for the Miami Dolphins, I think the Browns would be in contention to be one of the worst teams in the league, but thankfully for them, the Miami Dolphins exist.
I think that's an overreaction Monday kind of take, and I think the Browns are still the worst team in the NFL, buddy.
Oh, I don't know, man. It's going to be one of my takeaways, and I think, okay, let's just jump right into that topic. I'll give you my top 5 takeaways from this week 1, and you'll tell me overreacting, if you agree with them, if you think that it's too much doom glamming or something like that, that it's just like, it's way too much, or if you think like I'm looking at the teams with generous eyes and with a bit of a Monday sort of brilliant outlook or something like that. So my first one will actually be the Miami Dolphins are actually the worst team in the NFL. And I think, like, from coming out of camp as well, you usually get told when you start following the NFL and whatnot, that you take what's good in camp, all of the good stuff that you hear in camp and whatnot, you take it all with a grain of salt. But you listen when the reports are negative, because like reporters don't really want to throw out there, or teams don't want to get out there, that things are going badly, especially like early on in camp and whatnot. Like, sure, during season or whatever, it is what it is. But teams like preseason or off season, people, the guys on teams do not want to come out that like things are going sourly. And that was absolutely all of the shatter coming out of Miami Dolphins camp. The offense was supposedly not good on camp. Apparently that translated quite a bit. The defense was one of the worst units out there in most practices and whatnot, which again seems to translate. Minkah Fitzpatrick looks absolutely dusted. There's still internal stuff with Tyreek Hill going on there. It's like at halftime or after halftime, he was just, you could see him screaming with personnel on the sideline. He was stripped of his captaincy as well during offseason, which I don't buy. It's a nothing burger. I think that's something very real. And actually, today marks 365 days since he last caught a pass over 30 yards. So, yeah. I think Miami is actually the worst team in the league. And I think Mike McDaniels is the first coach fired this year.
Yeah, I think that's too much. I think that's way too much hopium on the Browns and, quite honestly, the Saints. And if the Saints from last year taught me anything, it's that the first 2 weeks complete and utter bullshit on how the rest of the season shaped up. I don't think Miami's going to be necessarily good now that I'm thinking about it, but I don't think they're the worst team in the NFL, no.
I mean, look at their schedule right now.
Look at their starting quarterback and tell me if you'd rather have the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins or the New Orleans Saints right now.
The Dolphins, but I think that's not the only thing. Like, if I look at, for example, the defense, I'd probably rather have the Saints defense. I might even prefer to have the Saints coach at this point.
I think.
And keep in mind,
I think we're being too harsh on Mike McDaniels.
What has Mike McDaniels done to deserve this sort of leash?
Took like the Dolphins the second, to the playoffs.
Yes, okay, that was 2 years ago. The second something goes wrong with his offense, player gets injured, especially Tua, or he's missing key offensive linemen or something like that, he is maybe one of, if not the worst, coach at adapting to the situation at hand. Like, his halftime adjustments are absolutely atrocious. Like, adjustments in his game plan when he's missing key pieces, it's absolutely atrocious. I feel like he's a good coach when things are going okay, but like the second anything drops or anything looks off, it's an absolute nightmare for him. And I'm looking at the schedule right now, and they're facing the Patriots this week. It's in Miami, so I think I'm going to give the edge there to the Miami Dolphins, because historically, even with the good teams, the Patriots seem to struggle when going to Miami in early September. So the Dolphins also have that weird shade thing where they always are in the sideline that is protected from the sun, and the other team just gets absolutely annihilated by the sun. So that's always fun, always the nice shenanigans. But yeah, the Patriots, okay, can give them the win, but then they face the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. They get the Jets at home. I mean, the Jets look quite a bit better than them. Then they go at Carolina. Then they face the Chargers. I feel like
that
you
Alex
could realistically
giving Justin Fields some credit. Interesting.
Now we'll get there. I think you could realistically have a team that is 2-4 going into week 7 at Cleveland.
And then you have the Saints, who just lost to the Panthers.
No, the Saints lost to the Cardinals.
Oh no, the Cardinals. My bad.
Well, yeah, the Cardinals could be a decent.
I don't
sort of.
Why did I think the Saints played the Panthers? Who played the Panthers? The Jaguars.
Ah, the Jags.
Yeah.
The Jags.
Anyway,
Jags.
Sorry.
No, I really think in like 5 weeks you're gonna give me a reason, and it's gonna look absolutely atrocious for the Dolphins.
I don't think so. I think by the end of the season.
Okay, I'll tell you this. After week 9. Jeez, please no. After week 9, yeah, probably. Week 9 or week 11, Mike McDaniels is fired from the Miami Dolphins. And Tyreek is traded by the trade deadline.
Tyreek being traded wouldn't surprise me, honestly. He probably needs to go at this point.
I told you, okay, so after Buffalo, Jets, Panthers, Chargers, then you go at Cleveland. It's not an easy trip for them. Then they go at Atlanta, and then they come back home. But back home, it's the 30th of October, and they face the Ravens, the Bills, the Commanders. And the Commanders, they go to Madrid. Then they have a bye on week 12. It's an absolutely atrocious schedule. They're getting ransacked here.
And I still think they're better than the Browns and the Saints. And maybe even the Panthers, too.
I can't see it, man. I think people will give... And you were talking about giving credit to the Colts. I think the Colts are in for a rough awakening when they actually face an NFL team.
Oh, man. You think so?
Because, like... I think so. Because, like, what they got here, it's like... The secondary was absolutely trash. I think their pass rusher is solid, but
yeah,
the rest of
rusher.
The unit, yeah, but the rest of the unit on defense is so bad that you kind of need to get pressure with 4 men rushing the QB, because you really can't deploy any other person for the pass rush. You can't rush 5, you can't rush 6, otherwise, like, the rest of the defense can't hold on, so. You better hope that you get to the QB with 4 men rushing.
I mean, it's how the Giants beat Tom Brady.
Yeah. So if you can do that for like another 16 game weeks, you should probably be fine. If your offense can muster anything. Because let's not forget, they also have an expiration date on that offense. That offense is like milk. It's not long for the tooth, man. Like, when November comes, that offense goes bye-bye. So you better hope you've won a lot of games until then. And it's also, in November and December, you go to New York, you go to Pittsburgh, you go to New England. So that's 3 guaranteed losses right there.
I think you are... over-exaggerating the distance Miami still has to go to get to the bottom. I think there's still a pretty big gap.
Okay, so you're not trusting this. Okay. We'll see. We'll see how this one goes. Okay. For my second one, let me check my notes here real quick. The Jaguars...
Oh no.
Are not a good football team.
Oh my god.
I wanted to see how I'd phrase this. So I take it as you not believing that is correct.
No, I don't believe you on this.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, and you can probably check me on that fairly quickly, but Trevor Lawrence had a single pass going over 20 yards. The rest, it's like very much all the short stuff and whatnot. I think what you saw was more of the Carolina Panthers being a team with some deficiencies, especially in the offensive line. Like Bryce Young had absolutely no time. When Bryce Young gets no time, things get very tricky, very fast. The defense also looked meh at best. Like pass rusher is nearly non-existent. The secondary is solid. For the Panthers, that is. But the pass rush is absolutely atrocious. And I'm looking at the Jags and I think, okay, the Jags won this by like double-digit points.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be one of those cases where people overreact because the people have already wanted to be on the Jacksonville Jaguars side. I think it's going to be one of those cases in which all of a sudden you're going to look at the Jags and they're going to be who they face in this next week. They face the... Where are they? Jags, they face the Bengals. I could see this game, like the Bengals sort of disappointed in week one, not really up to the expectations. The Jags won, they won by double digits. I could see this game as being one of those in which like the Bengals all of a sudden at home are only favored by 2.5, 3, and I think they absolutely clapped the Jags.
So let me get this straight. See how quickly he changes the narrative, though? Like, I remember the last episode we did, Alex, you came in here.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
And you said, no, Bryce Young, you know, he turned the table. He looked better the last few weeks. This team is better. This team, the Carolina Panthers, is better than we give it credit for. And then they got shellacked. They got shellacked by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And now you're like, oh, well, the Jaguars aren't as good as, you know, we think they are. Because, I mean, it is the Carolina Panthers. Where was this last week? No. Give the Jaguars their credit. Say, they beat a team I thought was going to be better.
Yes. Give them their credit. They beat a team I thought was going to be better.
Does that mean
that I should excuse Trevor Lawrence for having 170
yards? Did the Jaguars last year lose this game?
I don't know about that, man.
Oh,
I feel like the game goes about the same, especially early on in the season. The Panthers were kind of atrocious, so I think the game goes about the same. Let's put a break on that. Like, Trevor Lawrence had 178 yards passing, a touchdown and an interception. Like, getting paid $50 million, by the way, a year to do that, versus the Panthers, who again have no pass rush.
Who doesn't look washed anymore, though?
Travis Etienne.
Travis Etienne, baby.
Hey, that one you can take the victory lap on.
It was all smoke. It was all smoke and mirrors.
Hey, what a contract here does to a motherfucker.
This guy.
Hey, it is what it is, but I just feel like the other shoe is going to drop so fast with the Jags. It's going to be crazy. Surprisingly enough, Travis Hunter leads the team with targets, with 8 targets, 6 catches on 8 targets, 33 yards. So all of them very short stuff. One of the catches went for 10 yards. So effectively 5 for 23. Looks great. Brian Thomas Jr. True first kind of in the toilet. 7 targets, but only 1 catch for 11 yards. Not the best as well. But Brenton Strange is getting work. So that's a positive side right now for them. For the Panthers, I think the one bright side is that Tatatori McMillan actually looked sort of decent to start. So, hey, if you're a truther about that, meanwhile, Xavier Leggett is like in the absolute gutter. Like, Panthers fans are starting to call for the Panthers to stop using him because, again, the dude is an absolute weak wide receiver, which, again, is not a surprise. What?
Didn't they trade up into the first round to get this dude?
They did, and yeah, they could have just drafted, like, McConkey and, like, be good with it. But no, they have to get Xavier Leggett because he has a funny accent and he comes from, I don't know what college, but it's the same. They got just the same guy as the guy that you love in Terrace Marshall and the guy from the year after in Jonathan Mingo. They have to get their year's version of that. So
is that's fun, but yeah, this year's Xavier Leggett.
No, I think Tet is gonna be okay. He's not the best wide receiver. He's not the best wide receiver from the class, though. That's reserved for my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Egbuka. That's it. That's the dude. Egbuka. But yeah. So I think the Jags are not a good team. They're gonna look terrible, and they're going to be amongst the top 10 worst teams in the league.
How many top 10 worst teams in the league are we talking about? You're talking about Miami being the worst? Now you're talking about the Jags.
Miami? Oh, Miami, the Jags, the Saints are probably in there as well. So that's 3. Then you add in the Browns, that's 4. You add in the Panthers, probably that's 5. The Patriots are probably in there, that's 6.
Oh my god.
That's 6. The Giants are in there, that's 7. The Titans are in there, that's 8. Well, that's 8. I can't really tell you much else from the top of my head. So that's a very solid top 8. I feel like that's the last tier in my eyes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you as well. Let's talk a bit about the Jets as the takeaway. People will get fooled by this performance.
Oh my
from
god,
Justin Fields, and the Jets are gonna finish. Are gonna finish with a top 12 worst record in the NFL.
You didn't want to say top 10 again. This guy.
No, I'm giving it a bit of room. Because again, I think there's a cluster of teams after 8, so they'll finish with a bottom 12 record in the NFL.
The Jets are going to be second in their division. I hope you know that.
Well, yeah, the division. I was going to say initially, I was going to say they're going to finish in X place of their division, but then I remembered they have the Dolphins and they have the Patriots, which I already put as a bottom 8 team. Both of them a bottom 8 team in the league this year. So finish second when you have 2 bottom 8 sides on the division does not sound as impressive. But they're not going to have a winning record. I'll tell you that much.
I think they'll have a winning record.
I think this is probably going to be if
the Patriots are as bad as you say they are, and if the Dolphins are the worst team in the NFL, that's basically 3 or 4 dubs right there. You only need to get 5 more.
I'll give you Miami, probably. The Patriots, I don't know. I don't think Justin Fields is the type of QB that can get you.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah. But again, I'm saying they are bottom 12. Like, in a game between bottom 8 and bottom 12, like, that's not that big of a stretch that either side could win that game. And you just know that when the going gets rough, and like, I've been saying this for so long. And you guys all praise Justin Fields for the... Let's put this in perspective. I get Justin Fields being praised for the performance, because I saw some plays from them. Okay, that's kind of neat from him. That's fine. That's whatever. Okay. But we're at this point in which we're praising this guy because he threw, and we're praising his passing game especially, because he threw for 218 yards and a touchdown, which is considered a bad game for good QBs. We're all on the same page here, right?
He's pooped. The Jets didn't punt the ball in the first half. Do you realize that?
I realize that.
The Jets offense.
Did they win the game? Okay, did they win the game?
The Steelers were a top defense last year, and then they improved upon the defense. Mm-hmm. And they still couldn't stop the Jets.
Did they win the game? Oh, wait. They couldn't? Okay, so you're telling me that maybe when I turned off the game, maybe the Jets went in there and scored, right? Because if they couldn't stop the Jets, then I'm sure that Justin Fields scored in that last drive, right?
I'm just saying. The Jets looked a lot better than they have.
They looked a lot better
Say they looked better than when they had Aaron Rodgers, because they did.
Yes, they looked. They looked better than when they had Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was on the other side, though, and he passed for 244 yards, 4 touchdowns, versus a defense that was actually solid until Robert Saleh got fired. They thought he should go. So now they keep allowing like 30 plus point games. So that's always fun. But the thing that is always funny to me is like, okay, we let's praise Justin Fields and hit all of that. But the thing is, when the game was on the line, he reverted back to being Justin Fields. Like, he had 3 downs. His first pass was like going nowhere. Absolute duck of a throw. Second pass, almost intercepted by Jalen Ramsey. Third pass, he could have gotten the first down. He's running for it, actually. He's running for it. Like, he has actually enough ground ahead of him that he could actually get the first down. But no, he decides last second he's going to throw it to Garrett Wilson. He throws an hospital ball to Garrett Wilson, who gets immediately popped by Jalen Ramsey. We're like inches away from him, and he just gives him a massive pop, and Garrett Wilson, of course, needs to drop the football. That's on first down, that is. Sorry. I think on first down, I think they get some yardage, if I'm not mistaken, on a run of sorts, and then it's a duck pass, it's an almost interception, and then an hospital bomb ball to Garrett Wilson. So he just reverted back to being Justin Fields, just like that. So that tells me all I need to know, that I don't have to worry about Justin Fields proving me wrong, because this is the same old guy that I've been watching and being told is going to be good for the last 5 years. Like, it's the same thing. It's a guy that can get you in position to win a game or two if the game is absolutely perfect, but when you need to get out there and win the football game, he just isn't capable of it. He's just not good enough for it. So, hey, I guess Jets fans enjoy the 30-plus points that you're getting at times. I enjoy getting, like, 6 to 7 wins, picking, I don't know, 12 to 15, never getting a franchise QB, probably giving an extension to Justin Fields because that's the bet that you're going to get, and you're stuck in mediocrity forever. Congrats.
You're just such a Justin Fields hater, man. Like, I don't understand. I don't get the hate. I don't understand
QBs to win.
Is he the best quarterback of his draft class?
Well, Trevor Lawrence is probably the bar. The bar is not that high. But asking, I'd say Trevor Lawrence.
I'm just asking a question here. You just,
okay.
I'm just.
Wait. Okay, now 2021. No, Purdy was 2022, right? Purdy was 2022. I mean, from his draft class, I think it's Trevor Lawrence. And by default, it's probably the second, because he's the only guy still with a starting job.
I'm just trying to, you know, force you to give this guy kudos. So,
okay, sorry. You get your kudos. You are the second best guy in the most overhyped QB draft.
There, honestly.
No, but he's not. Like, Trevor Lawrence still has him beat by, like, nothing. You're the second best wide receiver in your overhyped QB class when the first guy only ever won a playoff game because he faced the Chargers. And he is a bust waiting to be declared. So, congrats, I guess.
He took that Jets offense and he made them score 30 points. Took them on his back. Hold on, let me see something real quick.
Yeah, he took them on his back to losing. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
Hold on. I need to check something real quick. 2020.
If you told me he had won that game, that's something. But he didn't. He lost that game.
You can keep talking. You can keep spewing your Justin Fields hate.
Hey, like at this point, I think it's been said that I think if the Jets play like this, this is probably the best that the Jets are going to play, by the way. This is like the absolute best game that their offense is going to have all year. Like, this is their ceiling in terms of offense. And it was still not enough to win the game. So I don't know what you expect me to say about the Jets. I can tell you they're good. I can tell you they're like garbage.
What if I told you last year the Jets only had two instances where they scored that many points?
Okay,
and then they won both games.
Great. Now they scored that many points in the first game and they lost. What does it matter if they score 50? You know that better than anyone. If you score 40, it doesn't mean that you automatically win football games, right? You know that by experience last year.
Okay. Listen,
I don't know what you're telling me here.
I don't get why you're not a fan of scoring points, but scoring points is never a bad thing, Alex.
Okay, sorry. I am a fan of scoring points. I'm just more of a fan of winning. If you win 10-7, you're winning. If you lose 32-2...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
34-32. That just means you're losing.
Last year saying that the fucking Eagles didn't win good enough. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, dude. Like, if you lose the game 34-32, you didn't play good enough. If you win the game, I don't know, 28-7, it still doesn't necessarily mean that you had that great game. Like, a lot of circumstances can happen in a football game.
Dude. You just like to pick and choose. You are not pro scoring points, and you apparently are not pro winning football either. Because
no, you are not pro to winning football games.
I am very pro winning football.
No.
Now, yes, Yes, because I understand that, like, you gave up 34 points against the Steelers. It happens. Justin Fields
played
well. No, it
doesn't.
Well,
How many times did they score 34 points last year?
But that has no bearing on Justin Fields, Alex.
It has. He played like six or seven games.
If Justin Fields was the quarterback of the Seahawks, you motherfuckers would have beat the 49ers. So get out of here with that score.
No.
Get out of here with
no,
that.
Because he,
yes.
No, because
yes.
he doesn't win
yes.
football games.
He would have scored more than 17
shit.
Points. He
it doesn't
he
matter.
Scored. And he probably would have thrown for just as many yards, too. Go ahead.
You'll only see what I'm telling you when the Jets finish the season like 7-10, and they're gonna be like, okay, this is improvement, and they're gonna pick like what 13, and they're gonna pick like a defensive player, and they're gonna have to start Justin Fields again next year, and then they will finish 7-10, and they're gonna be like, okay, not improvement, but the team is moving better, and he's fun to watch every Sunday, so let's just draft another defensive player. And you know what's gonna happen the year after? Maybe. Just maybe he finishes 7-10 because that's his ceiling. He can't win you more than 7 games or more than 6 games because he cannot, in the last drive of a game, get the football, score the touchdown, and win the game. That's not in his DNA. That's not the type of QB that he is. He's a fun QB that's going to get you points,
like
that's going to get you yards, because he runs, because he is electric with the football in his hands, because he's a great athlete. That's what he is. But when he needs to read the field, when he needs to be in situations in which there's pressure around him, he just folds like a, I don't know, like a house of made of toothpicks.
House
That's just it.
Of-
That's the story of his career.
The hate is too much. Just tell me he feels good. Just say he played
but
good.
He didn't.
He scored 32 points.
No, the. Yeah, he scored 32 points. Okay. Be happy with it. Be happy with it. In the moments that counted, in the end of the game, he fucked it up. Yet again.
Well, you're used
you know
to
who
that.
Did?
So you should be a Justin Field fan, honestly.
No. Don't try to flip that. You know who didn't? Fail in the situation in which he needed to get points to win the game? Aaron Rodgers. He didn't fail. And I'll tell you right now, I love the pettiness of Aaron Rodgers right now. He is a massive hater, and I'm all aboard on the Jets hate right now. Let him hate the Jets.
I am a fan of a good petty. I am a fan of a good petty.
Oh, he is. Yeah. I mean, they asked him about it, and he's like, hey, I like to beat everyone associated with the Jets. And I'm like, okay, I see you. Now I like this. Hey, the Jets, you had me. I was a part-time fan of the team. I was part of it. You had Zach Wilson. You had Robert Saleh. We had a good thing going there, Jets. But now you fucked it. Like, Robert Saleh wasn't good enough for you, for Woody Johnson, for whatever. So now you go and get Aaron Glenn, which is like the it's just Robert Saleh 2.0, but that's probably going to go worse than what it went with Robert Saleh. And you betrayed us when you got Justin Fields. And like getting him is, okay, you're going to be stuck in mediocrity probably forever. Enjoy. It's going to be fun. For me.
The Jets offense looked better. You can say. Go ahead.
Great. No, thank God it looked better. Hope they won as well. Hey, that's all I really can tell you. Okay. Afterwards, here's another takeaway of mine. The Packers are the best team in the NFC.
Wow.
Their defense looked absolutely like crazy, out of this world crazy. Like the pressure they were getting, the secondary plays they were making. That defense looked great. The offense, it's still the same thing. It's like they have 50 wide receivers. In any given week, one of them will go 1 for 8. The rest will all do great. And they have like, I don't know, yes targeted Dobbs 4 times, Reed 5 times, Tucker Kraft 4 times. It's going to be a very split offense. And the thing is, they have so many guys around there. They have Dobbs, they have Reed, they have Wicks, they have Tucker Kraft, they have Matthew Golden. Receiving-wise, that's it. They also have Musgrave. And that's a lot of those guys are young, are unproven, are this and that, but they're all solid wide receivers at what they're doing. And I think the amount of options that they've had just means that any given time they can make a trade for a veteran wide receiver that isn't happy in the team they currently are. Wink, wink, Tyreek Hill. And it also means that, like, with injuries and whatnot, they just have so much depth in that receiving core that I think it's gonna be a great season for them. And they go in there and they beat the Lions. They completely destroy them. Like, the Lions, they held the Lions to 6 points for most of the game. Like, the Lions scored a late touchdown to Isaac Tisla, which apparently is a new dynasty darling for some picks. Tesla, yeah. Tesla, okay, so he's a car, great. So, I think the Packers are the best team in the NFC, barring what we see on Monday. And I think the Lions are going to struggle quite a bit without the coordinators, apparently. I'm giving them a pass on week one. Because, again, they've proven they're a great team for like 3 straight years. I'm going to give them a pass for this game in specific. But something needs to change here, man. Like, Jared Goff looked like the Ernest Lions. Looked like the same Jared Goff that we saw when he didn't have... Jesus Christ, Sean McVay, right? Sean McVay, okay. I thought it didn't sound good. Sean McVay looked like the same guy as he was when he didn't have Ben Johnson. I am not super optimistic. The run game looked so vanilla, man. Like, it was just like basic-ass type of runs, not the same like sort of innovation that Ben Johnson brought to this team. It was just a very vanilla type of game plan there. Sam Laporta got involved a bit. Jahmyr Gibbs had like 10 catches for 31 yards. If I'm not mistaken, that's an NFL record for the least amount of yards gotten with 10 catches. So that's a fun one. And yeah, the defense looked okay at times, but still nothing crazy. They lost Terry Nardle for a bit, if I'm not mistaken. So I am a bit scared about this Lions team.
Well, you don't want to call them the worst team in the NFL?
No, I don't. But something I would take, maybe a bit of a batting advice. Let me double check if nothing changed here. At the time of recording, so this is before the Monday Night Football game. I don't know if... Is this going to come out before Monday Night Football?
Oh, today is Monday. You know what? Sure, it can.
Okay. So if you're listening to this before Monday Night Football, right now... next week you have the Bears going at Detroit. Oh, where's the game? Yeah. Bears going at Detroit. Right now the Bears are... the Bears are 5-point underdogs. I would hammer that. The +5 on the Bears. Because if we're looking at the Lions and we're saying, okay, this is because they lost their coordinators and... We haven't seen Ben Johnson yet with the Chicago Bears. But if it is true that a good part of this was Ben Johnson and the Bears came out and they put on a great performance, especially on offense, versus the Vikings, and they get a result versus the Vikings, they get a solid win against the Vikings, I could see this number going down all the way to 3 to 2.5. So I would take the Bears right now +5. I think that's a very good number for what you get right now. If I'm not mistaken, earlier in the day, it was 5.5. So the number is going down. If you can still get 5.5, I think that's even better. But yeah, Bears +5, I think it's going to be a great play if you pick it right now.
This guy.
Okay, but do you agree Packers are the best team in the NFC? And if not,
I don't agree.
Where do you put them in the NFC?
Top 5?
That seems low. Who do you have ahead of them Sure.
The Eagles for sure.
Okay.
You're not going to like this, but a healthy Matthew Stafford and the Rams.
But I just can't say if he's healthy or not. Plus, their offensive line looks very rough. I'll put it like that.
The 49ers.
Okay, dude.
And the Commanders.
I can sort of give you the Commanders. I think that's about it, though. So, at worst, they're top three in the league, in my eyes.
I think the Packers are going to, same thing as last year, except their defense is a little better. It's one of those teams where when the offense is hot, no one can stop them. But when it's not, it's ugly.
Wouldn't you say the same about the Rams, though?
I mean,
and the Niners,
yeah.
Especially the Niners.
The Niners just won when their offense wasn't hot.
Well, yeah, but last year we saw plenty of cases in which their offense looked like doo-doo.
So did the Rams. So did the Rams, too, technically.
I don't know if their offense wasn't hot, per se. Like, it's... They still put on a good display, it's just that their offensive line was kind of shredded to bits. The Niners were more like... I really think the Niners didn't deserve that win, because we were up all of that game, to be frank. After the Niners got that first touchdown... we tied then, and then we were either tied or up in the game for the rest of it. But we just played like chicken shits in the last part of the game. So we got screwed because of that. But I really don't think that they deserved that game. I think the Rams probably deserved that game because the Texans' offensive line is still atrocious. The Rams' defense has a bit improved. So I think the Rams still have the case for the top five. But I think top three, the Packers are going to be in another class, from the Rams, from the Niners, from whoever you want to put
in
there.
You're not going to like this, but you know who might sneak in there, too?
Who?
The Cowboys.
The Cowboys put on a good display, I'll tell you that much.
They did.
We didn't manage to talk about it, but I think they put on a good display. I think on offense, they were solid. They had a bit of a... They were a bit unlucky because of the CD Lamb drops. Otherwise, I think they could actually take the win there. They could actually get a result versus the Eagles. Who, again, offense didn't look that inspiring, but it is what it is. I'm not going to go too deep into that. I'll give you my last takeaway. So I gave you four already, if I'm not mistaken. I'll give you the last one. The Ravens lost, but the Ravens are the best team in the NFL.
Oh my God.
I think the Bills have the best QB in the NFL. I think the Ravens have the best team in the NFL. And I'll start with this by going a bit of a rant here with the Ravens, which I really didn't understand why you punt that ball. So the Ravens, I'm not sure if you saw that game or not, but the Ravens, they were up. Let me double check this so I don't. Okay, so they have the football after the Bills score to go up to be down 40-38.
Yeah.
Yeah. 40-38. They get the ball. The Ravens do. They get a yard with Derrick Henry. Then they take out Derrick Henry. So that's the first thing of my rant is I still don't understand why they take out Derrick Henry so much. Because you saw in that game, it was first down and 10. Derrick Henry was there. It was at Baltimore 31. The Bills loaded up the box. Like, everyone was in that box to try and stop Derrick Henry, who was having an absolutely amazing game until the fumble in the previous drive. He was having an absolutely amazing game. Like, he was... He just shoved the guy into next week's, like, Wednesday or something like that. He just completely destroyed Cole Bishop, if I'm not mistaken, in his first touchdown run. But they give him a football there. And then they take him out on second down. And you immediately see when he goes out. The defense just completely unloads the box. And now it gets that much hard for Lamar Jackson to do something, passing the football. So they go with a play with Zay Flowers, which was something sort of a run or a pitch pass or something like that. That goes for nothing. And then on 3rd and 9, it's a DeAndre Hopkins 6-yard catch. So now it's a 4th and 3. It's a 4th and 3 at Baltimore 38. The Bills are out of timeouts, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they're out of timeouts. They have the ball at Baltimore 38, and they punt the ball. From that moment, I thought they were going to lose the game, and I wish that they lost that game, because that's just not something you do. Your defense hasn't been able to stop the Bills for the last 2 quarters. Like, the Bills have been running, like, for the last quarter and a half, that is. They've been just completely destroying your defense. You have not been able to stop Josh Allen so far, for the past quarter and a half, as I said. You need to, you still have 3 timeouts. You need to be aggressive there. You need to get Derrick Henry in there, load up the box, run a play in which Lamar Jackson can read the defense and either hand it off to Derrick Henry to get 3 yards or keep the football and get the 3 yards himself. You've been running at an almost 10 yards per play at this point. Your offense has been electric. Todd Monken, like, has called every single thing in the playbook, and all of it has been working. You do not punt the football there. You're asking to lose that game. And they punted the football. And I'm glad that they lost that game. Because that's not something that you do in that situation. Yeah. And coaches need to be more aggressive in these cases. You're coaching in the biggest league in the world. You need to have balls of steel in this sort of context.
Well, I agree.
What do you think?
It was pussy behavior. I agree. It was decidedly not alpha, not very cash money of you. So, yeah, I actually agree with your take.
I just felt like at that moment, the correct decision was 100% go for it, because. I know there's an argument out there that the Patriots back in 2010, if I'm not mistaken, in a game versus, I want to say it was the Eagles or something like that, they had a similar situation in which it was 4th and short. Like, they get a first down, the game is basically iced, but it's inside of their 40, and they ran a play, which I think it was a bad play call. That was the mistake with the ball. I don't think it's a pass that even goes after the line of scrimmage. I think it's a pass that goes behind the line of scrimmage, and it just gets blown out, and I think it gets shredded in the media the week after. But I think it's the correct decision in both cases. But with the Patriots, you just got a bad play call. And here, we didn't even get the chance to see what they called. Because again, they were getting 10 yards per play easily. They were averaging that this game. Todd Monken was calling an absolute perfect game. And you need to put the ball in your best player's hands. And that's either Lamar, that's Derrick Henry. One of those guys needs to get the football, needs to get those 3 yards. Because if you don't get that, it's 1:33, you have all of your timeouts. The Bills get the football at Baltimore 38. You have a short field for them. Like, they are not going to be able to milk the clock all that much. And you're going to be able to get something, at least. You're going to be able to get another chance, most likely. So then they punt the football. And then it's just, like, another set of, like, crazy plays from them. In which there's, if I'm not mistaken, it was Humphrey. If I'm not mistaken, Marlon Humphrey, if I'm not mistaken. That Josh Allen hits Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman gets like a 25-yard catch. He's about to go for the end zone. Like, he is not even thinking about the correct play of going down and not scoring, just settle for the field goal, because there's still like 40-something seconds left, 46 seconds left. Then Marlon Humphrey actually stops him from scoring the touchdown, which is all the more asinine. That's just not something you do. And then another thing happened that maybe I'm missing something here, but they call the timeouts when it's a 3rd and 12. Josh Allen, they call a timeout when it's a when was it? No, they call the timeout after Josh Allen kneels on the 2nd and 11. So they call their last timeout there. So then Josh Allen kneels for the 3rd and 12 to set up the field goal, and he kneels with about 30-something seconds left. I didn't get why they called a timeout on the second down. Why don't you just let the clock run down to like 20-something seconds and then call the timeout? So then you face, you put the Bills in a situation in which they have to decide, are they going to kneel the football, get the field goal team out of there, they get the football, the field goal team in there for the last, 20 seconds. Do you risk that and something going wrong with the field goal because you only have 20 seconds instead of 30-something seconds to set all of that up? Or do you not kneel, kick the field goal, and the Ravens get the ball with, 10 to 8 seconds left, at least giving you a chance? I didn't get why they called the timeout there, but for me, the main takeaway is that the Ravens are probably the best team in the league, but in that game in specific, they overplay their hand, and they should have gone for it.
And now they play the Browns.
And I think they're going to absolutely destroy the Browns. And I feel like you're not in that same camp with me, so tell me why.
So, one of the things you do when you, like, fuck up that badly is you tend to overcorrect. And maybe I'm giving the Browns a little too much credit here. I'm probably giving the Browns a little too much credit here. But there are things the Browns could do to adjust to that overcorrection. Specifically, if the Ravens like saw what happened and they're going to get like more aggressive more often during the over the, especially at the start of that Browns game. Because the Browns defense isn't bad. They can get at people, as I unfortunately witnessed Sunday. But so if you can get some stops,
God, you're cutting Angela. Discord has been too nice for us. Discord, no, you need to repeat basically everything you said. Discord went after us on that bit. Uh-oh. Angela's still not talking. Kind of afraid this might be it for us. This is not looking good. Hey. So we're actually never getting the rationale as to why Angelo thinks the Browns have a chance here.
Go on. Is that better?
Okay. It's better. It's better, and I can actually hear you. So we missed the entirety of your point on why you think the Browns have a chance. So if you want to indulge us with that, please do.
Yes, because what generally happens after you lose in that kind of dramatic fashion is you overcorrect. You try to course correct, but you end up overcorrecting. And I think the Ravens are going to come out very aggressively in week two. And I think the Browns defense is a lot better than even you are going to give it credit for. And if they can get some stops and if they can punish that over aggressiveness, I think you can see the Browns come up early.
I think they're going to come to try and avenge the loss. And they're going to be a pissed-off team. And I would not be surprised if they're winning 21-0 at that.
I said that last week for the Bengals, too, and you saw what happened.
Well, yeah, but the Bengals, you're in Cleveland, and you start off slow. So that was never going to happen. I think they absolutely destroy the Browns.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay.
We have a prediction show coming up Friday.
Friday, we're going to have the predictions outside of the Thursday night football that we're doing today. Do you want to wrap this up to avoid Slipper Discord messing up with us, or what do you want to
do? Yeah, I think we should. Yeah, I think we should take our warning sign and we should heed.
Yeah, because that was a bit worrisome there. Okay.
Discord has not been good for us the last week, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, because we actually tried. We were here to record on Friday to post a show on Saturday, probably. And we were here for, I don't know, around 20 minutes or so. And Discord was not kind to us. Like, not kind at all. We weren't even able to set up the next show. It had to be through messages. So it's time to pack it up. Discord has told us it's our time is up. So
Yep. Store's closing. Okay.
Store's closing. Okay, so for the Thursday night football game, that's the only game that we're picking today. The rest is going to be on Friday's show. So I guess I'll just do this one. It's usually me, the one who goes first. So it's Washington at the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are 3.5-point favorites. The 3.5 is tricky. I think the Packers win this, but I'm not sure if it's by more than 3 points. Commanders on the road. It's a Thursday night football game. I'll just take the Commanders +3.5, but I do think the Packers win this.
You know what? I'm going to have the courage of your convictions and make the pick that you should have made, and I am going to go with the Packers. The quote-unquote best team in the NFL is going to get the job done
in the NFC.
Is going to get the job done.
Versus the Commanders, who are probably the third best team in the NFC.
Yep. They're getting the job done. They're gonna start off hot. You know, this is amazing. Like, you are the Baltimore Ravens. I have to be the one who is aggressive and who's, you know, makes predictions.
I'm telling you right now, the Packers win this 24-21, and I just get the win.
Okay. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to shame you. You will get shame.
Okay. I'm telling you, it's going to go exactly like last week's Thursday Night Football. I'm telling you, I know I'm going to pick in that game. But yeah. So anything else you want to add?
No, nothing else.
All right. So that's what's getting out of there. Okay, thank you guys if you're listening this far. Thank you if you're listening on the Apple Podcasts app, on the Spotify app. Just make sure to leave us a 5-star review, subscribe to the show, and turn on the auto downloads as well. That really helps out the show. YouTube, no, not even gonna try. Hope you enjoyed the first weekend of NFL. And as always, guys, talk to you later this week.
Peace out.